I remember being 2 years old and coming from Costa Rica with my parents on a plane, and we were so excited to finally be at this new place. And we arrived finally to this place called Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I was so excited. I finally started school. I was 4 years old and I started school. And I remember going all the way up until my 10th grade year of school. And I was starting to apply for a job, and I was on my way to this work employment place, and I asked them for an application, and I filled it out. I turned it back into them, and a few days later, I got a phone call, and they asked me, "Hey, you're missing some documentation. Can you bring it in?" And later that day, I asked my mom, and I go, "Mom, do you know about this?" And she says, "Oh, I have something to tell you." And so I got sat down at the kitchen table, and I was with my mom and my dad, and they explained to me, "You're undocumented." And the whole time, right after they told me that, it felt like my whole entire world came crushing down on me. I did not know what to do. I was just worried because it hit me what I could and could not do. And I had grown up with my friends, and I saw them. It was around the time that we started applying for colleges, and they're doing everything. They're applying for colleges, and I'm just stuck because I don't know what to do. And I become frustrated with my parents because I just keep blaming them for bringing me to this country where I do not belong. And I'm furious and I'm angry at God, and I keep asking, why me? Out of all of the people in this world, why me? Why did I have to be the one to be undocumented? Because those words just sound so ugly. And I felt like I was just like everybody else, but I just kept going. I somehow ended up trusting in God, and I start filling out college applications, and I get accepted, and it's the day before freshman orientation, and I'm in the car with my parents. We have to go from Philadelphia all the way to Berrien Springs, Michigan, and it's a 11-hour car drive, and I'm with my parents, and so far, so good. We get to Ohio, and it's the middle of the night, and we get stopped. All I hear are sirens, and we get stopped, and I start getting nervous, and my hands start sweating, and I'm just worried because I don't know what's going to happen. And so the police officer gets out of his car, and he starts coming, walking over towards our car, and he asks my parents for their license and their documentation, and we explain to them that we don't have any. And the police officer goes back to his car and he makes a few phone calls. Then more police officers come and they take my mom and dad and they detain them and they leave. And I'm sitting next to my brother and my sister and I'm just confused because I don't know what's gonna happen to me. I'm supposed to start college the next day. My life is supposed to be set. And here I am in the middle of a highway with my brother and sister and I don't know what to do. At some point in between all of that, I had received DACA, which stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And what that let me do is that let me have a social security number, that let me open a bank account, it let me apply for colleges, get a job, pretty much be normal. For once, I could finally be normal. And recently, or not too long ago, that has been taken away from me. I no longer have DACA. And I remember the first time I found out, I was with my roommate and she was actually sleeping under me under bunk beds. And first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is check the news. And I check the news and it said, breaking news, DACA has been eliminated. And I remember just sobbing quietly and gently because I didn't want to wake up my roommate on a Sunday morning. And so I get up and I say, I can't do this anymore. And I grab all of my school work for the whole week and I go to the library and I finish my whole entire schoolwork for that whole week. And I'm just like, what am I gonna do? I didn't know and I felt so lost and worried. But then something came over me that told me, don't worry, just be still. And I knew that that was God. I look back into a story in the Bible of Jeremiah, And I look at his story and how he didn't know what was going to happen in his situation. God had given him these orders that he had to get the people of Israel back to him. And he kept failing. And he figures out that God literally has a plan for him. Plans to prosper him, to give him hope and a future. Plans to not harm him. And I look at that verse and I look back on my life. And I see how it parallels together. And I know that God has literally every single hair on my head counted. And he has every single hair on your head counted too. And it gives me hope. And it gives me something to look forward to. And right now, my life is not all happy and dandy. And I could tell you that if you just trust in God, everything will be okay. But that's not the truth. You're still going to have things that you're going to go through. There are still going to be mountains that you're going to have to climb. But you just have to be still and not worry about what's going to happen to you. You just have to keep trusting in God, just like Jeremiah was trusting in God. I have hope that you, the person watching this, is going to get a blessing from God, but you just need to believe in Him. My parents literally have jobs cleaning homes and working in factories, and we don't know sometimes how we're going to make it, and we don't know sometimes how we're going to pay for school for me and my siblings. And sometimes I don't even know if I'm going to be able to be in this country for the next month or if I'm going to even be here tomorrow. But I just have to believe that the plan God has for me is worth something. God did not put me here to just have it all end for no reason. He gave me a reason to be here. He gave me a purpose. And I believe that you have a purpose too. And it's not going to be easy, but you just need to believe and you need to trust and you just need to keep going. And I believe that when the time comes, we will be able to understand why we were put in these situations and why these things happened to us. At this point in your life, you may not understand why you are going through the things that you are going through. And you may be dealing with the death of a loved one or through some sickness or through just challenging times. But if you just trust in God and believe in Him, He is allowing you to go through this to make you a stronger person in the end. He is drawing you closer to Him. And I believe that one day you will fully understand why all of these things are happening to you. And I hope that when that day comes, you will be able to understand and be at peace and know that all along, this was your purpose and this was what God brought you here for.
Why bike? Why lift? Why run? When you're gonna get hot and sweaty and gross and sore? Sometimes I find myself asking that same question. What's the purpose of this? Why am I doing this in the first place? Not too long ago, I started an 8-week training for a 5K. An intensive program that has me running every single day. And there are days when I wake up and I'm so excited to go out on that track and run my heart out. But there are other days. I wake up and it takes everything in me to even put my shoes on. And on days like that, I find myself asking, why am I doing this in the beginning? What's the purpose of this? When I feel that way, I like to go back to a story. A story about a young boy that God called to do His work. God called him and said, Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. I set you apart to do my work. Jeremiah responds, God, you must be confused. Look at me. I'm too young. I can't go and prophesy. I can't go and talk to those people, that nation. And God says, don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. Jeremiah followed his calling and never doubted God ever again. That's ideal, but not realistic. See, Jeremiah was just like you and me. And he got to a season, a phase of his life where he needed God's affirmation one more time. And in Jeremiah 29:11, God tells him, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." Inspiring, isn't it? Purpose. Think about the blind man. For years, I can imagine him being cast out of society because he couldn't see. And the moment Jesus touches his eyes, all made well. See, that's just Jesus. That's just what he does. He gives us our purpose back. He heals us, gives us perspective. You know, even Jesus struggled with this. We see that when he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was so burdened by our sins. The Bible says he even sweat blood. But the angels came to minister to him, to give him strength, to reaffirm his purpose. Jesus did that for you and me. As he hung there on that cross, pleading, my God, why have you forsaken me? He needed affirmation. And that's what Jesus did for you and me. He took on this role, this purpose of coming down to this earth to save us from ourselves, so you and I might have purpose once again. You know, I'm almost finished with my 5K training. Has it been difficult? Yes. Has it been challenging? Yes. But I've come to realize a couple things. That nothing worth having was ever easy. Isn't that kind of like the Christian walk? We go through seasons of doubt, change, fear, and yet God is always there to reaffirm us of our purpose. I'm not really sure what you're facing today, what uncertainty you're dealing with, but I want you to remember that God is always there to remind us of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, my daughter, my son. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future.
So there's this man of God, he loved God, he would get messages from God, and he would give them to his people Israel. The man's name was Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah would get all sorts of messages, but one of the themes of the messages was this idea that, hey, I asked you to be special, you kind of got that, but you're doing it in the wrong way. You're trying to be like this superpower. You're trying to be more powerful than Assyria and Babylon. That's not what I asked you to be. I didn't ask you to be another Egypt. I wanted you to be special. That's why I gave you the Torah, the law. It's supposed to be this way of life about how to live a better life that I want the whole world to have and to embrace. And this is the thing. You wanted to be just like the world so much that you even started worshiping their gods. And that's kind of like going to broken cisterns, like pots that have holes in them, when I'm a well. And you reject me for these broken pots? That's crazy. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like having the, Super Bowl team. And the Super Bowl team, to try to get to be more famous, challenges a baseball team, the worst placed baseball team. Who do you think would win? The baseball team. Even the worst Major League Baseball team would beat the Super Bowl team because they know how to play the game. They've spent, you know, more than a decade of their life, probably two decades of their life, perfecting the craft of baseball. And these football players won't know how to do it. It'll be in a different stadium, different set of rules. And that's like Israel trying to be like Babylon. It's just not going to work. And so they got all messed up, and God's like, okay, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to have you get conquered again. You were in Egypt, now you're going back to Babylon. And so these other prophets would arise and send messages like, yeah, we got to fight Babylon, we got to stop them. And God's like, no. You need to go live in Babylon. You need to build a house and plant a field and be productive. I want you to be a blessing to Babylon. I want you to be there for its welfare. And I even want you to pray for it. And the people of Israel are like, pray for Babylon? You're crazy. I'm not going to pray for Babylon. And so these other prophets would do these other messages, and the people would follow them, and they would get into terrible circumstances. But most of the people went to Babylon, and they lived there for decades, and then they came out of Babylon. And when they came out of Babylon, things were going good, and everything was going fine, and then they got off track again. And so God's like, okay, no more prophets, no more just messages. I'm going to come as my son, Messiah, and I'm going to reteach the Torah. And so he came, and he lived as a human, and he preached messages. And like one of the famous messages, the Sermon on the Mount, was really just explaining the Torah. And he would say the same things that Jeremiah would say. He would say, hey, listen, it's about praying for your enemies. It's about blessing other people. That's the way of life I want you to have. You guys don't get it. You've gotten self-centered. It's about the other. And he would say things like, this is the message of the Torah, the whole point of it. It's to love God with your whole heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And they'd be confused about what the neighbor was. And he would give other stories, basically teaching them that your enemies, you're supposed to take care of and love and bless. That's what this way of life is. That's the purpose I have for you. The purpose I have for you is to be other-centered. And so, yeah, you went through Babylon, you went through Egypt, and now you're in Roman oppression. But the point is you're supposed to bless Egypt, Babylon, Rome. You're supposed to bless them. I want them to understand that the way of life is about serving the other. And so I listened to that beautiful message, and I was an atheist, skeptic. I hated Christians. But when I heard the message and it touched my heart, it changed my life. So much so that I decided any other pursuit in life just wouldn't be worth it. I wanted to serve God full time, so I went into ministry. And so I loved sharing the gospel and helping people. But just like Israel, after they were delivered from Egypt and Babylon, they got off track, and I got off track. And so I started to develop an idea that I wanted to be like this, you know, not a superpower, but a superstar. So I wanted to be a star preacher, I want to be a star preacher, just like there's rock stars and there's movie stars. I want to be that kind of star, and I wanted to be in like big churches and preach in big venues and maybe even be on TV. And ministry started to be about being famous. And one time I had this opportunity to preach in a large church, and I thought, yeah, this is going to be my break, because I would get jealous of my friends. They would get to be in big conferences, and they'd speak in these big venues, and deep down inside, I'd be jealous, but I'd be conflicted because I didn't want to promote myself, because it's supposed to be about the other. And so I'm going through this conflicted issues, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And so finally, I was asked to preach in a big venue, and I preached there, and I did well. And people liked it. And I thought, oh, this is my chance. This is going to be my big break. It didn't happen. And I was reflecting on this, and I started reading the Bible, and I started seeing, no. It's about helping people. And so, yeah, I should develop my craft. I should become a better preacher. But also, it's about developing people skills and counseling skills and helping people, even in venues where you wouldn't get recognized. It's supposed to be about ministry, serving others. And so I was rebuked, and I'm not becoming a superstar preacher. And if God wants me to, he's going to have to call me, because I think it's dangerous for my soul. I just want to help people. And so you're thinking, well, maybe I'm not a minister. That's fine, but you have gifts and talents that should be used for the glory of God. And how do you do that? You don't even have to use it for the church. You just use it in such a way that you give back to the community. And when you're giving back to the community, that way you can serve others. It doesn't have to be, again, for the church. It just should be for the other. And so, you know, you might also think, well, living for the other, I have needs. I'm going through a tough time. Well, Jeremiah had this message, and he's saying to, when they were in Babylon, listen, my message is of peace. Have peace through this tough time. I'm there with you. And when you go through that, you'll be better equipped to help others who are going through a tough time. You will be blessed. My message is a blessing. I will bless you so that you can bless others. So let us understand that it's about others. Let us understand the purpose of God for our lives is to love God with our whole heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Let that message wash over us and change us, and let us be a huge blessing for people. Let us understand that our purpose is to be other-centered. Let us be like Jesus, to serve the others, not to seek fame and fortune and prestige. Let us be changed, and let us bless others.